One of the things that we've been stressing here the last few days and coming up in our conference this year is the idea of strengthening family ties. Now, ties is the word, T-I-E-S. And if you noticed in that in the handout, if you look, T-I-E-S, teaching inspirational ways to empower and strengthen families. Now, one of the things that we wanted people to understand is this. There are families and there are families. There are families that are flesh and blood families, and then there are families that are like this one. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And so we're talking about being part of families. We're talking about being part of the body of Christ. We're talking about strengthening those things that are necessary in order for us to know that we're going to be standing solid and strong. One of the first things that I have seen that happens in the lives of people when they get assaulted by the enemy or when something goes wrong in their life, their first thought is to cut themselves off from the body of Christ and from the church or from other believers. And we want to see what we can do to encourage the fact that that's not supposed to happen. But what we're going to look at today is this. There are reasons why we are part of the church. There are reasons why we come together. There are ways in the scriptures that God tells us that we should conduct ourselves. And I'm going to share several. Now, there's several scriptures. Mostly, I'm simply going to read the scriptures because they're self-explanatory. I'll make some comments on some of them, but what we need to understand is why am I part of what I'm part of? I saw in a little that little thing that they print out just for laughs or whatever it is that they put around town that South Central Printing puts out. It's in the different restaurants and places like that. I read in there, I believe it was Mark Twain, the last one, Mark Twain. I'm not going to say that for sure. Somebody said, they had quoted somebody, and it said in there, God gave us our family. But thank God we get to pick our friends. Now, we have our families, but other things maybe we get to pick. One of the things we get to pick is where we're going to go to church. Now, as we look at that, the question is this. Why am I where I am? Why do I choose to be where I am? Some scriptures that I want to share with you to begin with. First one is from Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you or who lead you. Better translation, watch over you. Remember those who watch over you, lead you, rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, what he's saying here, remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you. The most important thing that you can have when you have someone that is, quote, ruling over you, leading you, or teaching you, is that they are strong in the word of God. Did they believe it? He said, don't be carried about by various and strange doctrines. It's good that the heart be established by grace. Now, he's saying something specific here, but I'm going to tell you the general idea of what he's saying. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with works. That's really what he's pointing out here. He's specifically talking about foods that you eat and don't eat, being under the law, you know, the dietary laws of the old covenant. But what he's really talking about is your heart's got to be established by the grace of God, not by something you have done that you feel like has obligated God to perform for you. Now I want to skip to the same chapter, verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, or who lead you, or whatever. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You know, when you read that, you see the same situation as you see in a family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The parents are supposed to be the one that are responsible for the family. And I'll tell you what, at some point, very seldom has there ever been a child that didn't hit some point in their life growing up for some period of time, whether in some cases it was a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks, in other cases it might have been a few years, where that child, and whether it was you or your kids, and you see it from both sides, that those children, that those kids didn't think that you don't know what you're talking about. My mom and dad are just so out of touch with it. But I tell you what, the correct kind of parents, the correct kind of leaders, those who rule over you or that have authority over you, watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Do you know I have to give an account to God for what I've done to you? Now, it says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Obey doesn't mean that you're supposed to do everything that I tell you to do. As I preach the word of God, God holds you accountable to obey it. If it's the word of God, you're held accountable to obey it. And you know there are people that will stop coming to one church and go to another church because they do not want to obey the word that they hear. Now, in some cases, it might be a proper choice, and in other cases, it might not. And you see, the thing is the motivating factor. It all comes down to the truth. It all comes down to the truth. Someone might get tired of being told because you cut your hair a certain way or wear this or wear that, that you're going to hell, so you don't submit yourself to that anymore. But then there may be others that will hear the fact that God wants you to be pure and holy and abstain from all of these things. And you say, well, no, I don't want anybody telling me that. They're just meddling in my business. So I'm going to go someplace where they don't teach that. I don't want to be in no holiness church. Well, I'll tell you what, holiness is the concept that God came up with. And he provides us with holiness and righteousness. But, you know, we've added our own little things to it too. But what I'm talking about here is that we should always seek the truth of God's word. We should always seek the truth of God's word. Now we're going to look at some scriptures that are from the book of Timothy. All of my remaining scriptures are from 1 and 2 Timothy. And the reason being that Timothy was a young pastor, that Paul was his overseer. And all the things that Paul spoke to Timothy, he spoke to him with regard to how it was to be in a situation that we would call a church atmosphere. And the first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying he thanks God that he enabled him, counted him faithful, and put him in the ministry. And you know his background had nothing to do with it. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. In other words, I wasn't a very nice person when God called me. But he called me and he put me into the ministry. And he's given me a word, Paul's saying, to preach. And the grace of God is responsible for all of it. It was exceedingly abundant. Because I exercise faith and love towards him. Second chapter, 1 Timothy. Begin with verse 5. And that is not right. Yes, it is. This low blood thing affects your... It affects it up there, too. You know what I mean? It's up to about here. A couple of quarts low, it only gets up to here. So then it just kind of squirts up into there, and sometimes it don't quite get there. All right, verse 5. 2 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. One of the things that Paul emphasizes in his calling into the ministry is that of speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, what is the truth of the gospel? The truth of the gospel is this, that God said, whosoever will, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The kingdom of God, the message of the gospel, is as broad as humanity. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. That's the one side of it. The other side of it is this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. It's as broad as humanity, but as narrow as Jesus. What do I have to do to get into the kingdom of God? How do I qualify for the kingdom of God? I qualify for the kingdom of God because I'm a human on this planet. That's all I need to qualify to get into the kingdom of God. But I don't have but one way to get in, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul presenting this. Now let's skip a couple of chapters to chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, it's verse 1, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. What's he talking about? Some will depart from the truth. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Boy, you know, that's a real strong way to say something. That is a whole lot stronger than saying, well, it's my opinion. Well, I decided this makes more sense. I decided this. I decided that. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. What he means here is that they've so turned away from God they don't even hear the Spirit of God correcting them. What do they do? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Those who believe and know the truth. Truth is, for by grace you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by what you do, but by what you believe. Verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Nurtured in the words of faith and in the good doctrine which you have followed, carefully followed. Verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Now he's talking to Timothy as a preacher, as a pastor in the body of Christ, as a church. Take heed to yourself. In other words, keep yourself straight. And take heed to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in what? Taking care of yourself in the doctrine. Continue in the doctrine. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Now, when I finish up with this scripture, I'm going to share some things. So you kind of make a mental note of the things that I share while I'm reading it. Now we're going to jump to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, verse 3, but now let me call your attention to the last thing that I read in chapter 4. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save both yourself and those who hear you. 1 Timothy 6, 3, if anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the faith, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. For from such withdraw yourself. Now, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, one more set of scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, if you remember in the very first scripture when I started, I said the one thing that that I have to do is to give an account. I have to give an account to God. I have to give an account to God for what I preach. I have to give an account to God for what I teach. I'm not going to have to give an account to God by how many times I patted you on the back. I'm not going to have to give an account to God of how many times I came to see you when you were in the hospital. I'm not going to have to give an account to God about whether or not I agreed with you on everything, or whether you agreed with me on everything. But the one thing that I'm going to have to give an account to God of more than anything else is what I teach and preach to you. And I am responsible that what I say when I get in front of you is the truth of God's word to the best of my ability and to the best of my knowledge. And in order to do that, there's a couple of things that you have to lay aside. And one of the things that you have to lay aside more than anything else is your opinion. See, I got an opinion about what some of this stuff says. I got an opinion about how you ought to be living. I got an opinion about some of the stuff you ought to do that the Word of God doesn't necessarily tell you you have to do it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, and they give you their opinion about what you have to do to be saved. See, it's not my obligation to give you my opinion of what you ought to do in order to be saved. You ought to quit this, quit that, stop doing this, start doing that, do all this other stuff. And then after you've done all of that, maybe God will save you. It's my responsibility to tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift to God. It's my responsibility to tell you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's my responsibility to harp and to harp and to harp on you to believe in God's grace. And when you start believing in God's grace, it will change the way you live. But it's not my responsibility to get in your pocket and tell you how you're supposed to be living. If I can't support it on the Word of God, and I'm not talking about finding some little scripture and stretching it. I'm talking about preaching the truth of God's word. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? In an ordinary day, during your period of the day, during what you do during the day, why do what you do? Do you do it because it's the right thing to do? Do you do it because of what you want to do? Do you do it because of what the Bible says do? Or do you do it because of what somebody else told you you ought to do? See, I can get up here, and I can come up with an opinion about how you ought to cut your hair and not cut your hair, and I can preach that to you to the point where it starts to affect you. And so what I have done then is I have used my opinion. I have used my opinion to formulate the way you think. Now let me ask you this. Do you think God has backslid? How do you know he hasn't? I mean, somebody has. I mean, if you're getting up and you're preaching this and you're preaching that, and what you're preaching makes it sound like God's backslid. Are you preaching the truth? When God doesn't do today what he used to do, how can you say he hasn't backslid? You know, when I read the Word of God, and then I say, that don't fit in today's society. I'm going to leave that out. Let me ask you this. Is the Word of God true? Is the Word of God true? Is it just as true now as it was 2,000 years ago? It's just as much the Word of God now as it was then. Okay? If it's just as much the Word of God now as it was then, in Mark chapter 16, it says this, in my name they'll cast out demons. Word of God saying? Okay? If the Word of God's still the same, if the Word of God's true, and it says, in my name they'll cast out demons, what do you have to conclude? That there are demons. There's a lot of churches don't even believe in demons. They don't believe in angels either. And there are more people than you would think in some of your major denominations. And I'm not saying it's the belief of the denominations in general, but I'll tell you what, if you go to some of the seminaries of some of the denominations, you'd be surprised what you come out of there believing if you accept everything that they're teaching. And there are a lot of pastors that have gone through the seminaries and they have come out and they'll get in a pulpit and they will preach and they'll represent God. And at the same time, their idea is there is no such thing as a devil. There is no personal devil. There is no Satan. There is none. It's just the principle of evil. Where'd he come from? Where'd the principle of good come from? Came from God. There's a principle of evil, has to have a source, has to have an origin. I believe it says something else about that. Let me just back up here and see if I'm right. Whoa. In my name, they'll cast out demons. It is there. They will speak with new tongues. Now, I tell you what, we can criticize them all we want to. I think that, you know, you tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. They'll take up serpents if they drink anything deadly and not by no means harm them. There are people out here that are taking that literally just like the one before it and after it. And we look at them like, you're absolutely nuts. No, they're just taking it literally. Now, whether they're right to take it literally, or not right, I've heard some strange things in some places that do that. I mean, I think it's strange as you get around a snake and not get bit. Hallelujah. Don't you go out of here and tell anybody that we handle serpents. We don't, except the old serpent. Paul took up a serpent, but he didn't do it on purpose. You might drink something deadly, but you might not do it on purpose. It doesn't say it'll be a ritual. It doesn't say it'll be something. It just says it's in the course of things happening. But these are all things that are the Word of God. And to say that they don't happen now is to change the Word of God. Is to preach a different gospel. Paul told the Galatians, he said, if there's an angel comes and preaches to you a different gospel than what I've preached, don't you pay attention to it. Paul was so sure that he heard the voice of God that he said, if I come back and preach to you something different, don't you listen to it. Now, I've said all that to say this. Why do you do what you do? You know why I do what I do? You know why I preach what I preach? Because I believe it's the Word of God. And because nobody has been able yet to give me an accurate refutation. When I see that I may be wrong about something, I start thinking about it. Do I have all the truth of everything? No. But you know, there's some things that I don't know about, and when I don't know about them, I don't preach about them. And if you ask me a question about them, I might say, I don't really know. And if you think that lowers my position as a minister of the gospel because I tell you I don't know, then what you'll do then is look for somebody that'll give you an answer. And you'll find somebody that'll give you an answer. Whether it's right or wrong, they'll give you an answer. Now, when it comes to me becoming a part of something, what am I looking for? What am I looking for? When I decide to become part of something, when I decide to become part of a church, a particular group of people, not the church of Jesus Christ. If we all had that down, we'd all be alike. Every church you went into would be the same. But they're not. And either God's confused or we are. Because if God leads me to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God leads somebody else to tell you that it's of the devil, and then God leads somebody else to preach to you that it's passed away, God's got a problem. But somewhere with regard to every doctrine, there is the truth and there is the lie. There is the truth and there is the non-truth. Either speaking in tongues has passed away, or speaking in tongues is of the devil, or speaking in tongues is a gift of God. You get all of these different things. At least, let me put it this way. There's only one that can possibly be right. And God is the author of truth. We can have opinions. We can base our opinions upon what we see. And many people have based the opinion that it's not God's will for everybody to be healed on the fact that not everybody that's prayed for is healed. And yet the Word of God says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anyone go to hell, but there are people going to hell every day, and it's not God's will. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the truth of God. Now, I'll tell you what. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that scripture is either a truth or it's a lie. Now, I'll tell you what. My experience has nothing to do with the truth and reality of that scripture. You see, too many times we interpret the Word of God based upon our experience. How can we do that in some cases and not do it in other cases? We have a strong belief in the Bible, but I'll tell you, I mean in heaven, because of it presented in the Bible. Strong belief in heaven. Going to go to heaven when we die. I believe in that. I don't have any experience that confirms it. How do you know there's a heaven that you're going to when you die? Because the Word of God tells me so. How do you know that nothing shall by any means hurt you? The Word of God tells me so. And you know what we've got to look at? We've got to look at the end of this thing. How do you know you're going to win? Because the Word of God tells me I am. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? I don't have time to say everything that's available to say. But I'll tell you this. There are people, and they have a spiritual mentality. They have a spiritual maturity, or however you want to say it. They would rather be a part of something that has 500 people, regardless of the doctrine that's being preached, than to be in a place that has 50 people that are hearing the truth. And you know, the level of the truth is not the same in every place you go. What do we believe? What do I believe? What do I believe? Do I know what I believe? Or do I have an opinion? It's one thing to have an opinion about God. It's one thing to have an opinion about the Bible. It's one thing to have an opinion about what you think God is and what God isn't and what God's doing, and to have an opinion about what you think this scripture means. But it's another thing to know the truth. And I'll tell you what. The more you add to the more likely you are to make an error. Now, if I really believe that it's important to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, that it's important to speak in tongues, and that it's important that the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and that God heals, and for some reason or other, I decide that I'm going to leave the church that I'm in that teaches all of that. Whether I got at odds with the pastor, whether the person sitting next to me offended me, whether somebody didn't sing happy birthday to me, or maybe they left my name out of the bulletin because we didn't know it was your birthday because you never gave us the information. Or, I'll tell you what, I was in the hospital 3 days and they never came to see me. Did you call and tell me you were here? Why, no, but they should have found it out. Well, did you know that when you were in the hospital, this was going on? It didn't make any difference. You should have dropped what they were doing and come see me in the hospital. You know, whatever. You decide to leave for some reason. And so they leave. And they go to a church that's preaching almost the opposite word. They go to a church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, thinks speaking in tongues is of the devil, and would never even think to lay hands on somebody or anoint them with oil and pray for them. But they got a big youth group. I can be in their choir. They have a Sunday school class. And we discuss stuff. I need to discuss it. Even if it's not the truth, I need to discuss it. And I guess, you know, it comes down to this. And like I said, I could say a whole lot of other stuff. It's important what you believe. Because you need to believe the truth. And I think that there's some people, you know, that they base it on everything other than that. They base it on the size, the activities, how well they'll pat you on the back, how much they'll love on you, you know, whether they'll do this, whether they'll do that. And if you do all of that and you got the capabilities of doing that and you're preaching the Word of God and everything that you're saying in your sermon is lifting up God and exalting His name and never calling question on His Word, how can you not understand that any time you read this Bible and make the statement it doesn't happen today, you're calling question on everything in this book? And it comes down to this: what's the tithes? What's the tithes that are binding you? Are you tied to your church because of what your church believes? You tied to the church because of how well they treat you? And you know, if we believe the right thing, you'll be treated right. But nothing's going to go perfectly your way. You are never going to be treated 100% like you think you ought to be. It's just not going to happen. I don't care who you are or where you go. You will not be treated 100% the way you would like to be treated. And what you got to do is just say, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that I can learn something that will strengthen me in my walk with God. It will encourage my faith. It will take the pressure off of me. It will enlighten me because the Bible says you know the truth. The truth will make you free. When you know the truth of grace, it'll make you free from all of the burden of trying to work your way into God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the devil doesn't want us to hear that. Am I saying that I'm the only place or I'm the only one that's got the truth? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, I don't care what's going on somewhere and what else is available. If they're, you know, if it's just something as simple as this. Here at New Life, you have been taught and taught and taught that God is not the author of sickness. Now, you leave here, you go to another church, the pastor gets up, and he says, well, we don't know why he's sick. We don't know why God did it, but there's a reason. You know, that's contradicting all that you heard, and you have to decide who's telling the truth. And it's going to set a tone, yeah, in the children that are going to be brought up in that situation. The most important thing that you have to decide when you make ties with something is, what do I believe? What do they believe? And is it the truth? Everybody thinks they're teaching the truth. Nobody out here, you're not going to hear a pastor get up in the pulpit and say, now turn to your Bibles and I'm going to teach you something this morning. And I know it's not the truth, but I'm going to teach it anyway. I mean, you know, they don't. There's no pastors. Well, you know, I know that I know that speaking in tongues is not of the devil, but I'm going to preach to you that it is. I know that God still heals people today, but I'm going to tell you that He don't. Oh. We believe what we preach, and we believe what we listen to. And that's why it's important. that we know that we're listening to the truth. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, and for those of you that know me or have known me for years, I wasn't brought up believing what I believe. I believe what I believe because I have tried my best to have an objective opinion about what everything is in the Word of God. And I have changed my own mind about things. Not because somebody else convinced me, but because God got me to thinking about it. And it's important that we seek to know the truth of God's Word. And I'll tell you something else. You know the truth for two reasons. First, and we've already said, because it'll set you free. And the second one, you know the truth because it works. Because it works. You know, if you don't believe that God still speaks to people today, you're probably never going to hear Him. But when you realize the Word of God tells us that God will speak to us, then you'll hear Him. Decide to believe the truth. If you decide to believe the truth, God's Word will lead you into it. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, today for Your Word. I thank You, Lord God, that as we study Your Word, as we come into Your presence, laying aside all the things that influence us, seeking to know the truth, we'll find it. And I thank You for leading and guiding Your people into the truth. Bless us now, Lord God, as we depart from here today. Thank You for Your angels encamped around about us and You fulfilling Your Word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Don't forget tonight, the 6 o'clock, for those of you that are interested.